All right, turning your Bibles to the Gospel of John once again. The Gospel of John. Going through the Gospel of John just verse by verse. And we really want to go back to something we read over last week in John 18. John chapter 18, beginning in verse 19. So last week, as we read through the Gospel of John, chapter 18, or for most of 18, we felt like the focus was on the life of Peter and Peter's denial of our Lord. And so there's some lessons we learned from that text. You can go back and watch last Wednesday night and pick up on those lessons we learned from Peter's denial of the Lord during that time. But we did read a passage of Scripture that I wanted to go back and visit because we believe that it is really the beginning of the terrible ordeal suffered by our Lord during these unfair and unjust trials. And I do want to lay that statement out there. We may come back to this next week, but these trials were unjust. They were unfair. They were crooked. None of them, which is this, my statement here is going to be very surprising, because even our modern day court systems today are modeled in America. They're modeled after the old Roman court system. And these Roman courts were known for their fairness. Everything was done by the letter of the law, except in the case of Jesus. And in the case of Jesus, all of these trials were unfair and unjust. But what we find here in this text I want to show you is the beginning of the sufferings of our Lord through these unjust and unfair trials. And we're going to look tonight at some of his sufferings. And we also want to keep in mind, as we think about his sufferings, we want to keep in mind why he suffered. And he suffered because he loves you and he loves me. And because he suffered for our sins and the sin debt of the world, we will never have to suffer for those, because he paid the price and he paid it in full. And so let us remember that tonight and find reason to rejoice that God loved us so much he sent his son, and his son loved us so much that he was obedient even to the death of the cross. But so oftentimes we see his sufferings begin only maybe with the scourging and then being nailed to the cross and lifted up, and those hours of agony there on the cross. But his sufferings began long, long before that. But here during these trials, we see the beginning of those sufferings. So look in the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verse 19. And the Bible says this: "The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. And Jesus answered him, 'I speak openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whether the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why ask thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said.' And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, 'Answerest thou the high priest so?' And Jesus answered him, 'If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but if well, why smitest thou me?' Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest." And so we see here that one of the officers struck Jesus. And I just want to give you 10 things tonight very quickly. It won't take long. But when we read of the arrest, the trial, the crucifixion of Jesus, keep in mind that it, as it is with other stories in these gospel accounts, we have to see what the other gospel writers say. And so that's why one good study Bible to have is a chronological study Bible. And so what it does is it takes all of these gospel accounts, when we're talking about the gospel, it takes all of these gospel accounts and put puts all the details together. So in one story, you get the full picture. It's a chronological Bible. That's a great Bible to own and to have in your hand. But so to understand the beginning of our Lord's sufferings during his trials, we have to take in all of the other gospel accounts. And so we see here that he's hit by one of the officers. And the officer demands that he doesn't answer that way. So what I've done is I've went through these other gospel accounts and went through the story of his trials, and I've gathered together some ways that his sufferings were carried out and continued throughout these unfair trials. And so, number one, to begin with, when we start thinking about the terrible ordeal that our Lord suffered through these unfair and unjust trials, number one is he was misquoted. He was misquoted. You're going to find that over in the book of Matthew. So remember Jesus one day when he's looking at, over in Matthew chapter 28 maybe. Jesus is looking at the temple, and he makes this statement. He says, they're going to tear this temple down, and I'll build it back up in 3 days. And he's talking about himself. He's not talking about the temple that he's looking at. Well, over in Matthew chapter 26, they misquote him during these trials, the quote they come up with was they said that Jesus said he's going to tear the temple of God down. Jesus never said that at all, and so he's misquoted. In a trial, if you're going to quote someone, you need to quote their exact words and what they said. Well, it was all a lie, because these trials were unfair and unjust. So he was, number one, he was misquoted. Number two, according to Matthew 26, Jesus was spit upon. He wasn't just spit upon one time. But if you'll look in Matthew 27 as well, he was spit on a couple of different times. Now, I don't know about you, but I can solidly say from this pulpit tonight that I'd rather for a man to punch me, and I'll stand there and take it, than for a man to spit on me, because I probably in the flesh would not stand there and take it, just being honest. I don't see how there's anything worse than having someone spit upon you. I've seen some of my shift partners in law enforcement, I've seen them spit upon before. And at the end of the day, it wasn't a good day for someone, but I always was thankful that it wasn't me that got spit on. I don't know anything worse than being spit upon. Twice during these unfair, unjust trials, our Lord was spit upon. How much more degrading can you be than for somebody to spit on you or spit in your face? And I want to remind you that at any moment in time, though Jesus was robed in flesh and he was fully man, he suffered just like you and I suffered. He got tired just like we get tired. He got hungry just like we get hungry. He had pain just like you and I have pain. So he was 100% man, but he was also 100% God. And at any time during the sufferings that he endured through these unfair trials and unjust trials, he could have stopped it all with one word. He could have ended it all. He knew that soldier and those people that were about to spit on him were about to spit on him. And he could have just blinked his eye or spoke a word and killed them dead in their tracks. But he went through these sufferings for you and for me, for all of mankind, really. So number one, he was misquoted. Number two, he was spit upon. Number three, in Matthew 26, you'll also see this, that he was struck with fist, that they punched him, and that they hit him. And so that's number three. So I'm going to go ahead and I'll give you another one here, and this is going to be on down in the list, because this goes with this text in Matthew 26. When he was struck with fist. They also blindfolded him. In Matthew 26, you'll get that impression from the text, but over in Mark, Mark spells it out. He says they blindfolded Jesus. And so what they did was, in these unfair trials and unjust trials, as part of his sufferings during that time, is that they blindfolded him as they had misquoted him and as they spit upon him. They then blindfolded him, and they took turns punching him and demanding that he try to guess who punched you. If you're really God, like you said you were, then who is it that is punching you and striking you in the face? So it's one thing, listen to me, it's one thing to know I'm squared off with you and to know that you're about to punch me and it's about to be landed on my jawline. It's one thing to stand there and know that's coming and you didn't move fast enough and you're about to get sucker punched. It's a whole other thing to be blindfolded and not know that a punch is coming and it just hits you. That's altogether different. Imagine yourself in that situation. But our Lord, he endured it. He suffered through these trials, these unjust, unfair trials, because he loved you and I enough to where he was going to go to that place where he said he was born to go, to a cross. He was born for this cause, to suffer and be the sin debt for the entire world. My goodness, what a Savior. And so that was number three. He was struck with fist. I already hit number seven on down the list. He was blindfolded. But number four, in Matthew 27, you'll find this too. He was stripped naked during this trial, this unfair, unjust trial. He's surrounded by all the religious leaders of the day who's bringing all these false accusations against him. He's been misquoted, basically lied about. He's been spit upon. He's been blindfolded. He's been punched in the face. And all these things are happening. And so now we see, as we read on through the text, that what they do next is he's surrounded by a crowd because everybody's wanting to watch this insurrectionist be tried and eventually crucified. And so what they do next in front of this crowd and all the leaders in this supposed court setting, they strip him naked so they take off his raiment off of him, so they could put on him one of the gospel writers says is a gorgeous robe, so they can mock him even further. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't think of anything more humiliating than to be in a public place and to be bound and blindfolded and spit upon, but to have those people strip you down naked, nude for all of the world to see. And they did that to Jesus. We've got some missionary friends. They ministered in Mexico. They were telling one time years ago when all the cartels were really gaining strength and power in Mexico, one of the things cartels figured out is hey, if you kidnap people, especially maybe people that are important to other people, they'll pay a ransom and we can make money like this. And so one of the things that happened is they kidnapped one of our missionary friends' local pastors. These missionaries would go into Mexico, they'd win people to the Lord, they'd establish and build a church, and as that church was built, local Hispanic men would be called into the ministry, and they would train them in a Bible college and let them pastor those churches. And so the cartels kidnapped one of these pastors, and they beat him. They broke his jaw with the butt of an AK-47. And my friend and all of those around knew that they could not pay a ransom because this would set precedence. You can't pay a ransom for hostage for kidnappings. And so the negotiations went on. And finally, the cartel captors realized they were getting no money from this pastor. It's just a wonderful story there about his time of captivity and he witnessed to these people. But nevertheless, what they finally did, they let him go one morning. And when they let him go one morning, they stripped him down naked and sent him out to the street. And he just had to go down the streets until he could find a phone and he could call and say, hey, they've set me free. Come get me. Come help me. Now, keep in mind, they had beat him. They had blindfolded him with a hood over his head. They had hit him with the buttstock of an AK-47 and broke his jaw. And my friend said they asked him, once they got him back, cleaned up, medical help and all that, they said, listen, what was the worst part of your experience? What was the worst part of your experience that you went through? Tell us how terrible it was. And he said, the worst part was they took all my clothes off when they turned me loose and made me go down the street naked. Well, I can't think of anything more humiliating for our Lord to have went through along with all of these sufferings. He was stripped down. They took his clothes off, put a robe on him to mock him some more, and then eventually took that robe off and put his raiment back on him, the Bible says. So he was stripped naked. Number five. We're thinking about the sufferings of our Lord during his unfair, unjust trials. And so he was repeatedly slapped. I think it's very clear in Matthew 26 and in other gospel writers that there are times when Jesus was punched. But there's other times when they slapped him with an open palm. How embarrassing. How humiliating. How that is really degrading. In what they did with our Lord. And so keep in mind, this is over the course of several hours. All of this is taking place in these unfair, unjust trials, which they're trying to speed their way through so they can, quote unquote, find a guilty verdict and get him on the cross and crucify him as fast as possible. And so he was slapped repeatedly. Number six, he was ridiculed, and so they made fun of him over and over, and they mocked him, and they put him down. Keep in mind, as they're doing this, they don't realize who they have here. They've got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They've got, yes, they've got 100% man, but they've got God in flesh. They don't even realize that at the time. And I want to tell you what's significant about this to me. What's significant about this to me is at any time had any of these men wanted to repent, they could have done so. We see that the thief on the cross did and the Lord saved him. At any time that they had wanted to repent and honor him as Lord and recognize him as Lord, it had probably cost them their life, but that individual would have been welcomed into the kingdom of God. But they didn't do that. And that's why I think it's significant what that verse teaches us, that one day that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And I always think in my mind of these soldiers who are doing the very things that we talk about here, the ones that ridiculed him, slapped him repeatedly, spit in his face, punched him while he was blindfolded, stripped him naked. Those who reveled in that day, those who are having the time of life in that day, one day they will bow their knees and with their tongue they'll have to confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Does that mean they'll be saved when they do? No. No, if they died lost, they're lost for all of eternity. But one day everyone will bow their knee and confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. That's number six, ridicule. Number seven, he was blindfolded. We talked about that. Number eight, he's falsely accused. And so they falsely accuse him of that verse I told you about. That look, he said he's going to tear down the temple of God. He didn't say that. He didn't say that at all. He said, they will tear down this temple. And in 3 days, I will raise it up again. He's talking about the temple of his body. And so they falsely accused him. And in a Roman court where evidence was so important, where factual witness statements were so important, they didn't require any kind of evidence at all. They just let anybody say anything, and it was brought in and taken into account in these unjust and unfair trials. But imagine this, if you will, because we know this about Jesus. We know that everything he spoke was truth. Every single thing he spoke was truth. We know that he never twisted the truth. He never stretched the truth. He never told any big lies, and he never told any what we call white lies. that everything that come out of his mouth was an utterance of truth. And now what they're doing, they're bringing these false accusations against him. Imagine the irony of that. Little did they know that before them, the one that they were falsely accusing, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And they're trying to lie about him. These are the sufferings of our Lord during these unfair, unjust trials. Well, look in number nine, we should say, the book of Luke teaches us that he was also insulted, as if the things that had already been done to him that I've mentioned were not insulting enough, but they publicly insulted him. So with words, they degraded him and abused him and mocked him and belittled him. And with their actions, they tortured him and brought suffering to him. And then lastly, we see and we find in Mark where the command is given, but we find lastly, number 10, where he's flogged or scourged. We want to say a little bit more about that as we read on through John and we start getting right up to his time of being put on the cross. And really, that flogging is a whole message in and of itself. That scourging, it's a whole message in and of itself. Probably what you and I will ever know as close to the real thing is what Hollywood did in The Passion of the Christ. But you need to know this scourging, this flogging. Listen, if you think mama with a hickory in her hand hurt your little old legs and hurt your backside, my oh my. Most grown men couldn't endure the scourging. They died from the scourgings. In fact, the Romans had scourging down to a science. They knew exactly how many lashings that a man could take and could not take. They knew how many would kill a man. And so they were sure to always stop one or two short of that. And it involved massive amounts of blood loss, massive amounts of tissue loss, tissue damage. And it also involved bone loss, where bones were broken and then ripped out of the body in shards and in pieces and in chunks. And so our Lord endured this scourging. So there's a whole message on that. Maybe, I don't know, maybe we'll spend one night just talking about the technique of a Roman soldier as they scourged an individual. But our Lord, being 100% man, being God robed in flesh, he endured these sufferings. He endured this pain and he endured these humiliations and these accusations and he went through this unfair, unjust trial. And keep in mind, which it's in my mind and it's humbling to think that he could have stopped this. If I'm laying on the ground and taking the beating, listen to me, if I could stop it, I'm going to do something to stop it. I guarantee you that. And he could have thought a thought or spoke a word, and it all ended and been over with. But he didn't, because he wasn't going to bypass the cross. And there was no plan B. There was no other way. His sufferings from beginning to end was because he loved me and he loved you, and not only you and I, and not you and I at our best. He loves us and he loved us then at our worst. When we were yet in our sin, when we were unbelievers, he died for the ungodly that we might be saved one day and become one of his children. And so he died. He went through these things, paying the sin debt of the whole world, enduring the wrath of God, even through these unjust, unfair trials, so that if all of the world would come to him by faith and repentance, they too could be saved. If only the world would, what a different world this would be. But what a humbling, and what thanks or gratitude inspiring thought that we see tonight. And our Lord, he suffered a long time before he was nailed to a cross and lifted up. And he suffered through these unfair and unjust trials greatly and deeply simply because he loves me and he loves you this much. And so next week, what I would like to do is I want to be able to show you some ways that these trials were unfair and unjust. So I want us to kind of look at the details behind the scenes. So often all we know is, and all we're taught is, Jesus was arrested, he was tried, he was found guilty, he was crucified, hung on a cross. But I think when you start looking behind the scenes, you're going to see just how unjust and how unfair these trials were. That our Lord was not guilty of any crime, but loving humanity even unto the death of the cross. Stand with us, if you will, and tonight as we dismiss and as you leave us on Liberty Live, I just want to encourage you, give God in heaven thanks tonight. Give God in heaven your gratitude tonight and thanksgiving that he suffered in that way so that you and I would never have to. He suffered in that way to bring us who were strangers and foreigners to God into God's family and made us his children. What a loving and a mighty God we serve. Let somebody know you're praying for them this morning, and thank you for joining, or tonight, thank you for joining with us on Liberty Live, and we'll see you here Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Love each of you.